Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Likewise, everyone say likewise. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I know you're going, but that's not the Spirit, that's you. That's you. Because it says it makes groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. For we know, this is the one people like to quote, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. A little strange title for you, because I want to talk about you don't know how to pray as you ought, sometimes because you don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know. Now, some of you, I say, anybody have any kind of illness? You might raise your hand and say, yeah, I have such and such. I have such and such. But what do you do when you don't know? How do you pray when you don't know? So I want to talk to you this morning about, I don't know what's wrong with me. And that's why I need the Spirit. God, I come before you this morning so thankful for this opportunity we've had together in this little piece of ground up in Carlos, Louisiana, to bring the Word of God to people, Lord, that you love and you care about, each and every one of us across this globe. We ask you, Lord, that you open up our ears to understand the words of truth this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you live long enough, I don't care how old you are, young you are, if you live long enough, sooner or later, something will go wrong with you that you cannot figure it out. And when you can't figure it out, and all of your books that you read trying to find out, and you Googled this and you Googled that trying to find out what's wrong with you, and you take all of your concoctions, homemade concoctions, trying to figure out, and you analyze, well, I ate this and I did this and I shouldn't have went here, and you do all of that, and you finally can't figure out what's wrong with you, and then it causes you to do what you don't want to do, submit to somebody else. When you can't figure out what's going wrong with you, you finally realize I've got to submit myself to someone who can search deeper than I can search. Someone who is wiser than I am wise. Someone who's been there and done that, seen this before. And there's no need to treat what you don't know you have. You can't treat anything till you have a diagnosis, right? A lot of times with people, they don't know what's wrong with you. They send you to MD Anderson. I don't know what's wrong with you. And the problem is they're trying to diagnose what's wrong with you, because you can't treat what you don't know you have. You don't know how to pray as you ought because you don't know what's wrong with you. And I want to help you learn maybe what's wrong with you this morning. You sometimes in church we call our brothers and sisters. We have strange prayer requests for our brothers and sisters. Pray for me that they'll find something wrong with me, because I'm sick of this. Pray for them. Doc, they'll find what's wrong with me. And then some people are so crazy, they'll say, pray they don't find anything wrong with me. And you're still hurting and moaning and groaning, but pray they don't find anything wrong with me. Well, don't you want to get well? It's not until they find something wrong with you they can treat you. Oh. After you've eliminated that it wasn't the pizza you ate last night that made you run into the wall, and it wasn't because you doubled your medicine like somebody else did one time. I thought of one Zantac, whatever that is, that for an acid stomach does good to or do real good. It did real good. I was running into walls and hitting things. I'm like, what is wrong with me? I knew something was wrong with me, and I figured it out. I'm going to tell you something. I hadn't taken one since. Not a one. And you know what? The Lord healed me of that. Yes, sir. He healed me. You hear me? He healed me of that. How did he heal me? It was instant. He told me to quit eating ice cream, oranges, drinking orange juice before I go to bed. He told me everything I shouldn't do. And it healed me just like that. See, we're looking for miracles so you can keep eating ice cream and drinking your orange juice and all this kind of stuff. It doesn't work that way. You want him to heal you so you can keep being bad. But he told me exactly what to do, and I haven't taken a one since then. I have very, very little minor problems with it. It's usually when I'm being bad. And so finally, when you have done all your diagnosis and can't figure it out, you finally go to a physician and you say, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm dizzy, I'm short of breath, I'm sore, I'm having chest pain. And you tell him all your moaning and your groaning. Moaning and groaning. It hurts here, it hurts there, I just ache all over. And the doctor listens to all these external signs, but listen close. What he's trying to do is to intercede for you. He doesn't have the aches and the pains and he's trying to intercede for you because he's looking for the heart of the problem and he's searching for an internal answer to all your external problems. And after hearing your chief complaint and some of the things you tell him, then he says, you're going to need an MRI. Nurse, blood work. Get an x-ray of that. And stress test. And he puts you through all of these things because he doesn't want to treat you till he knows what's wrong with you. And then when he gets all the x-rays back, he gets all the MRI, he gets the stress test back, he gets the blood work back, he calls you back in and he tells you that all things work together for the good. All of these things work together to find out what's wrong with you. All these things, all these tests, all of these things that you've told me, it works for your good. The intercessor is working for your good. And of course, the problem is this good is for them that love themselves according to their own purpose. And finally, when he gets the test back, and you've done the stress test, you've done the blood work, you've done all this stuff, he gets the test back, he says, you have a stomach ulcer. And you're going, you got to be kidding. All this chest pain that I'm having and all of this, you got to be kidding. It's just like you want it to be worse. You mean that's all it is just a stomach ulcer? And then he gives you what will treat you, and if you'll follow the directions, you usually get well. It's up to you. He was, now listen close because I'm trying to teach you something. He was the intercessor that interceded for you to tell you what you need to do to get well. Now it's up to you. It's up to you. And so our Bible says, likewise, when you don't know spiritually what's wrong with you, I keep failing. I can't get it, my life together. Why am I still depressed? Why am I so carnally minded? Why do I still deal with all these things that I had when I was in the world? I'm still dealing with them. Then it is the Spirit of God that helpeth our infirmities and our weakness. It is the physician that intercedes for you. Right. Hallelujah. For we know not how to pray as we ought, because you don't know what's wrong with you. For the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with what? Groanings. Groanings which cannot be uttered. It cannot be uttered means to be made of the tongue. It cannot be uttered. Are y'all getting cold now? Kind of cool? Somebody give me a hot. Yes? Yes. Yes. That's what I'm waiting for. You're so froze you can't raise your hand. Brother Charlie, can you help me just a little bit? This is Louisiana, y'all. I'm sorry. It's hot and it's cold. It's never just right. But all things work together. He searches the heart to know what is the mind of the Spirit because he's making intercession for the saints. For your behalf and your behalf and your behalf. He's working for you and he is the one that's groaning. It is the Spirit that's groaning for you.
And when you've gone as far as you can go and you've done all that you can do and you're still no better, I'm here to tell you, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Spirit of God to make groanings for you that cannot be uttered, because you don't know how to pray for yourself according to the will of God, because you don't know what God is doing. I could give you case in point, just give you one. The Bible says that Samson was to be the beginning of the deliverance of Israel. And the Bible says he loved a woman of Timnath. He loved a woman of the Philistines. And his parents came to him and said, "Now, son, you know, you took a Nazarite vow. You're supposed to be holy unto, separated unto God. And can't you find one of our own people that you would marry instead of this woman?" And the Bible says they knew not it was of God. They knew not it was of God. You don't know how to pray as you ought. I'm not telling you they did wrong. I'm just telling you, you don't know the will of God. And so Samson marries his first wife. She gets killed. And boy, he gets violent. And he's ready to kill them Philistines, you see, because they killed his wife. And now he's mad at them. That's what God wanted, because he wanted the Philistines dead. And the Bible says at the end, he killed more at his end than he did at the beginning. And it said, and this was the beginning of the deliverance of Israel. You was praying, "Lord, block that. God, stop that. You, God, that's it." And it was of God. Sometimes you get things wrong with you. You don't know. It's of God. It may be the will of God. But only God knows the will of God. I'm just living this thing day to day. Hallelujah. Only the Spirit of God searches the heart to know the will of God, so that all these things you go through are for His purpose and for His call. Hallelujah. What's wrong with me? You ever said, "I don't like who I am. I don't like what I'm doing. I'm not happy with myself. Why do I keep thinking that? Why do I keep doing that?" Let me tell you, Jesus would have never ever been able to go through what he went through without the Spirit. The Spirit of God was always likened unto a dove, right? I mean, you look at most even signs, it's a symbol of peace. And it's hard to have peace in the midst of a storm. And so when we look at dove, you know, you look at Noah, the Bible says that when Noah was on the other side of the flood, he released a dove. It's like releasing the Spirit of God. And it was released and it came back to him because it found no place to rest. The Spirit of God, the dove, found no place to light the sole of its foot. It just had to keep flying. "I'm going back." And it went back, and Noah took it back in for 7 days. Then he sent it back out again, the Spirit of the Lord. He sent it back out again. It came back with a branch, symbolic of the cross, if you will. It came back with a branch, and Noah kept it yet some more time. I think it was another 7 days. Then he let it go, and it did not return. The dove had found a place to rest. The Holy Ghost. Well, we call it the Holy Ghost because it was the Spirit of the departed one, but the Holy Spirit of God that we read to these, I'm enjoying teaching y'all, really enjoying teaching y'all. And it said that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the earth. The Spirit of the Lord was already there, and it moved upon the face of the waters, but it couldn't find a place to rest. It went across the whole earth, and there was no place for the Spirit of the Lord to rest. So God created a man, and we talked to them about Adam today. He created a man so his spirit could rest, and he breathed inside of him, and he became a living soul, and God rested, right? Isn't that what the book says? On the seventh day, God said, I'm resting now. Whew. But Adam sinned in the garden, and God hates sin. God hates sin. I got another message about love and hate. I'm going to save it. I'm not going to blow it this morning. God hates sin. And the man that he loved sinned. So that Satan wanted to put sin inside of what God loved. So that if God destroyed sin, he had destroyed what he loved. So he had to find a way to destroy sin without destroying what he loved. So the Spirit of the Lord says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm flying away. I fly away, oh glory. And the spirit departed, if you will, from Adam. That's why he died. He was separated from God, right? Isn't that what death is spiritually? It is separation from God. And so the dove began to fly. I can't find a place to rest. And so the Lord resurrected judges. And the dove said, I'll light here on the judges. And the Bible said, Brother Valentine, he lit on the judges. The spirit of the Lord was upon the judges. But look at Samson. Look what he did. It wasn't comfortable. He began to sin. And then one day they said, the Philistines upon you. And he wist not the dove had flown away. See, the dove never stayed. It would just come and it would go. He would shake himself and he would be mighty. And then he would be weak as other men. And so the dove just kept flying. Well, I'll light on the kings. And so let's just go through the Bible. It's the judges. He goes to the kings. And the kings corrupted their own kingdom with idolatry and things. I can't light on the kings. I'll light on the prophets. So he lit on the prophets. And the prophets corrupted their prophecy for gain. I'll light on the high priest. And he went and lit on the priesthood. And the priest corrupted the altars and offered up idolatrous and things like this unto other gods. And the dove was weary. I was just, are you with me in my little story? The dove was weary and I was tired. I'm looking for that place to rest. God was grieved. He was the mourning dove. Ooh, you know, you've heard those, the mourning dove. And he was just mourning. And the Bible says it grieved man, that he grieved God, that he even created man. He was, oh, I'm looking for a place to rest. And finally the dove flew by Jordan River and into the water was walking a man who was a judge, who was a king, who was a prophet, whose name was Jesus. And the dove is hovering. And John the Baptist takes Jesus, Mary's boy, and he baptized him under the water. And when he came out the Christ. He went down Jesus, but he came out the Christ, Jesus Christ. And the dove said, whew, I finally got an eternal place to rest. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord descended like unto a dove in a bodily form and lit upon him. And John the Baptist said, how shall I know when the Messiah has come? How shall I know? And he said, the one that you see the Spirit descend upon and it remaineth, the same is he. And the heavens opened up and a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Ooh, the dove had found this place to rest. The Bible says in one place, it abode upon him. It found a place to live. And Mark chapter 1, verse 12. As soon as he comes up out of the water and the voice says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Look at what happens. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. The dove goes into the wilderness. As soon as it seemed like you're going to live for God, as soon as you make up your mind that I'm going to have peace in my home, I'm going to have love for my family, and I'm going to, Satan shows up. Jesus could have went into that wilderness saying, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? I just got saved, you know, I just got the Spirit. I'm anointed, what's wrong with me? But the Bible says that it was because he went through this, he's able to make intercessions for you and I with the groanings that cannot be uttered. And he went through temptation and he went through trial. And the Bible says when he came out, he was filled with the Spirit of God. He was still full of the Holy Ghost. The dove remained. The Spirit stayed with him. And then from there, he goes in, Luke chapter 4, he goes into the temple and they hand him the book of Isaiah and he finds the place where the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Woo, it's upon me because he hath called me to preach unto the gospel unto them that are in prison, to bind up broken hearts and preach liberty unto the captive. the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but you need that Spirit upon you. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that it set upon them. It set upon them. It didn't just fill them. It filled all the house. Everything. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, I want to tell you the worst thing you can do. Are you ready for the worst thing you can do?
Grieve the Holy Spirit. The worst thing you can do is grieve, because it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, which ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We say, well, how do I grieve the Holy Spirit? When I sin? No, it doesn't like that. But how do you grieve the Holy Spirit?
Unbelief. Doubt. Grieves the Spirit of God.
Too many times you and I grieve God because we don't believe He knows what He's doing. When you start going through things, you start trying to pray your way out of what God has put you into. You don't read where in the wilderness He said, get me out of this, Father. Get me out of this. Only one time on the cross He said, why hast thou forsaken me? Let me bring you back this morning, if I could, to a sick man. They couldn't find out what was wrong with him. His name was Lazarus. They came to Jesus and said, Lazarus, he's sick. What's wrong? I don't know, but he's sick unto death. He's dying. Come and see him. The Bible says he just sat there and waited. And he waited until he died. And then he comes. I want to read for you if they'll pull these scriptures up. And then, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if thou was been here, then my brother would not have died. I'm blaming you for his death. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned, where? In his spirit. He groaned in the spirit. And was troubled. Was troubled. Why? Their unbelief was getting to him. It was grieving him, and he was groaning. And when the Spirit groans and is troubled, let me tell you, you need an intercessor. And Jesus said, and he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. The only place you see where Jesus wept. The strong one wept. The anointed one wept. The judge, the king, the prophet, the high priest, the one that had the dove resting on him, he wept. Others weep for him. He said, weep not for me, but weep for your children. And he wept. He wept not for himself, but he wept for them and their unbelief. And when the dove begins to mourn, oh, my God, when the spirit gets troubled, something is fixing to happen. Verse 38, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. They were done with this. And Jesus, this great physician, said, take away the stone. Take away the stone. Take away the barrier. Take away what's between me and him. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. As they come this morning, he has been dead 4 days. He's rotten. No need to take the stone away. You're just going to let out the smell. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest what? Your doubt is killing me. Your unbelief is killing the spirit. The spirit cannot operate with your unbelief. Many times you say, and doubtest nothing, let it not waver. The spirit cannot work if you're going to doubt. Jesus said unto her, said I unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Oh, Jesus was saying unto Martha these words. You need to understand all things work together. If I could impregnate your brain with that this morning, that all things work together for the purpose of serving God. Verse 41, and they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes to the place the voice came from, for the place the spirit descended from, and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people that stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound with what they had put around him, what you had done unto him, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I don't know what was wrong with Lazarus. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say what was wrong with the man. How many of you may, I won't ask you to raise your hand, may have something wrong with you or something wrong with somebody else? You don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It's a bizarre prayer to pray, heal me, when you don't know what it is. Even Jesus, when he prayed for people, he said, what is it? What is it that I might see? This leprosy, what is it? How long have you been like this? It's kind of hard to pray for things you can't see. And spiritual things, people that continue to fail, carnal living, carnal thoughts, and all these things, they're things you can't see. How do you pray for them when you don't know what's wrong with you? I'm here to tell you, it is the Spirit that makes intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. As you stand this morning, what you need this morning is the Holy Ghost to make intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. You need to turn this thing over. Doctor, what's wrong with me? You just tell me the signs and I'll do the figuring out. Your doctor is your intercessor, and so is your God. He is the great physician. He is the intercessor between you and your problem and God who can fix it. As you come this morning, I want them to sing an old song. Hallelujah. Let it rain on me. Send the Holy Ghost down. You need to find the Spirit, a way to let the Spirit of God figure out what's wrong with you.